Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Caroline, you should tell them about the newest thing that Bloody Happy Hour is doing.
A Patreon.
It's a Patreon. What is that?
That means you're basically like a VIP member, and there's two different levels that you can, you know, subscribe to, and you get some perks. You maybe get like merch a little earlier. You get
exclusive merch.
You could get first dibs on signing up for a live show. You get episodes with no commercials.
You get our video because our video is no longer available on YouTube. It is only on Patreon. And the most important to me is you get videos of our live shows. So if you are far away and you couldn't make our last live show, it will be on the website. We're going to record this future live show. It's going to be on Patreon, but also bonus episodes each month. You guys tell us all the time you want more episodes. This is a way for you to get more episodes. So you're going to get our basic Tuesday, Thursdays that we always put out, right? But if you're on a Patreon, you're VIP, you're going to get more.
I can't wait to talk about in detail some more stories because I always have a lot of details I want to go to. I can law-splain. I might read a book.
They just unsubscribed. This is also going to be the exclusive place that Dirty Chat is going to go to. So if that is breaking some of your hearts, just go ahead and subscribe now. In order to hear the full content, it's going to be Patreon. Where do they go again?
Patreon.com/bloodyhappyhour.
Don't forget to
stay aware,
stay alive,
and always be DTF.
Hey y'all, I'm April.
And I'm Caroline.
And this is your Bloody Happy Hour. Caroline, are you ready for this?
This is your newest guilty pleasure.
It's the bloodiest part of your week.
Did we say something about it also being happy hour?
Show did.
Because we're about to be sipping on some murder. Bloody happy hour.
Hey y'all, this is April. Oh.
This is Caroline. I'm eating Cheetos.
Oh, she needs... This is not ASMR. She did not finish her Cheetos. That was my fault. Just please don't swallow in the mic. I hate the swallow sound in the mic. Oh, gosh.
I'm not allowed to swallow. I don't swallow often.
Well, maybe another reason you're not married.
Probably why I'm single.
Okay.
How many listeners did we just lose? Three? How many bad reviews are you going to send now?
Four more.
We don't care. Just kidding. We love you. Okay.
We do care. We
care a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a movie.
Caroline, we care so much that we have to go to BetterHelp to get some help.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? We're better if we get help.
It's an easy website. It's easy. It's convenient. It's counseling. And I'm sorry, everybody screwed up a little bit in their own little way. And you might as well
if you're
talk
alive
it out.
Right now during this day and time, you need counseling.
You're screwed up. So get some counseling. Go to, what is the website?
It's BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/bloody. You'll get assigned to a therapist. If you maybe don't really vibe with your therapist, you can always switch it. And it's all online. And you can just go in and switch your therapist. And you go to, once again, BetterHelp.com/bloody. You get 10% off. And you live your best life.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Here we go. And then you go home and you medicate it with other things.
Yes. Absolutely.
But at least talk it out. Okay. So we're going to go to Canadian, Texas. Ever heard of it?
Never. I also never heard of Samoa. There's like people? A state called Samoa, Argentina, like Samoa, whatever. Anyways, I've never heard of Canadian Texas. Can you tell me where it is?
It is in the panhandle.
Oh, is it where the fires are?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're not a geographist?
I am not.
Mm.
So I found a new show. Shout out to Keith. He told me about a show on Max called Murder Under Friday Night Lights. And they're just short little 45 minute stories, documentaries on murders that revolve around high school football. High school football. So like I watched one, it was cheerleaders. I might cover that one later on. Another one, a teacher went missing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they all have to do with the football player. So either a football player is killed or a football player is murdered. Texas high school football player.
Or the football player is the murderer.
Killed or the murderer, yes.
Oh, yes.
And or actually like there was a local...
teacher.
Well, you know, and it probably will. I've only watched a couple episodes. So
it's called Murder Under Friday Night Lights.
Uh-huh. So there was, we have a local case that revolved around some Texas high school football champions in Mark, Texas.
Oh, wow.
And the guy who did the killing was just sentenced, like just a couple months ago, that I'm going to have to cover. It's just such a sad story. I was just watching it and I couldn't watch it without crying. So I'm going to have to do it and numb myself, I guess, so I can tell
really?
The story well. Yeah, it's crazy. No, I don't think you're capable of tears.
Sometimes they come out. Takes a while. Oh, there's a new show called The Regime. Mm. I'm just trying to see.
It's on Max.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to see how many episodes are out, but go ahead and tell them.
There's a couple seasons. Okay, so this story is titled Where's Tom Brown?
Okay.
And it happened in Canadian, Texas. In Canadian, Texas, Texas high school football, Friday Night Lights is everything.
A big deal.
Most places in Texas are like that. And I'm gonna say everywhere. If you got a high school football team, that's gonna run the city. It's gonna run the town. That's where you're at on Friday Night Lights.
Like I'm excited about
Friday
like,
nights. About what?
About like people who have kids who I'm friends with. For those kids to get into high school so I can go to watch high school football games again and not be a weird creeper just going up to the football.
Yeah,
because
I talk about you right now.
Yeah, over two.
So this place is in the panhandle, and there's not a lot to do in this town. So like a lot of high schoolers, like we did in high school, you go back roading, you know, maybe in the evenings, on the weekends.
Yes.
So these teenagers do a lot of back roadings there.
Yeah.
Let's meet a boy named Thomas Brown, but we're going to call him Tom.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hi, and welcome to Bustles and Bangers with your hostess, Rachel and Christopher.
I love it when you say my name.
And you didn't say hi.
I didn't. You just kept going. I'm going to introduce the book. I'm not reading it.
It's
because I don't like reading.
Girls like cowboy butts, you know, and those jeans don't hide anything. Find us on Instagram at Bustles and Bangers or on RogueMediaNetwork.com.
Hey, I'm Blair.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're the host of
By the Cover Podcast.
We cover everything from mysteries, thrillers, romance, chick lit, and even some smut.
Don't forget the smut.
Yeah.
We're so excited to get this thing going and share this with you guys. We've been talking about this for months, and it's finally, finally happening.
Yes.
Special shout out to Rogue Media for helping us with this.
For sure. For sure. You can find us on Instagram at @ByTheCover_podcast.
You can also find us on Facebook and TikTok, so don't forget to give us a follow on those two also.
We are so excited to dive into some of our favorite books and share those with you.
We can't wait. Hope you love it.
see it.
And we are going, this is 2016.
Okay, there's three seasons. I can't wait. Okay.
Now, Tom was senior class president, and he was a lineman on the football team. He was about a little over 6'3", and a little over 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. Canadian had already won multiple state championships, and Tom was on the team two of those years where he won two state championships. That's how I heard of Canadian Texas, because I knew that they won a lot of football championships. So he was popular. He excelled academically and mm-hmm. athletically. He also loved to read, play video games, and he loved WWE wrestling.
Oh, there we go.
Now, he was described as funny, friendly. He always loved to make people laugh. He lived with his mother, Penny, his stepfather, Chris, and his older brother, Tucker, was an Oklahoma State student. Mm-hmm. And so he would be at home during the holidays, right, when he was off. Now, this year, football season started with high hopes. They were going to win another state championship, and they had already won two within his high school year. So they were thinking, you know, let's win another one this year. So football season has started. Now, and it's actually the day before Thanksgiving, so Thanksgiving Eve. And, you know, if you go and hear any Wednesday, high school football coach, their goals at the beginning of the year, one of the goals is we're going to practice on Thanksgiving. We're going to practice on Thanksgiving. So if you're practicing on Thanksgiving, that means you've made your district's playoff or deeper into the playoffs, uh-huh. and you're headed towards the ultimate state championship, right?
Yeah.
So it was the pre-Thanksgiving Eve. There was practice going on. And Tom was going to hang out with his friend Christian that was home from college. She went to Oklahoma State. And another friend named Caleb King. So Christian Webb and Caleb King. They were all good friends, and they were meeting up because everybody was in town, and they were going to back road just like any other night, right? Mm-hmm. And then he agreed to be home early to watch a movie with his brother, Tucker. Now, Tom, even though he was a senior, he had a curfew of midnight.
Yeah.
And he followed this curfew all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, he was never the kid that, like, had an excuse for being late.
Oh, it's way up there in the panhandle.
Now, he did not come home on Thanksgiving Eve.
Oh, no.
And his brother was like, hey, we're supposed to watch a movie. Texted him. No response. Mom texted him. No response. And about 12:23, they tried to call him. And the phone went to voicemail. Like, it went straight to voicemail. Like, it was dead or off or on do not disturb or whatever it may be. Penny was worried, couldn't get a hold of them. So she called the parents of Caleb and Christian to see if they've talked to mm-hmm. their kids, right? So Christian's mom was like, he's in bed. He got here just a little after 11, like before 11:30. And they decided to drop each other off. So what had happened is they had all met at the middle school. Tom got in the truck with Christian and Caleb. They back roaded. When they were over with, when it was done, they went back to the middle school and took Tom back to his car. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. He was driving the family's red Durango. Now, Christian was kind of shocked that Tom hadn't been home and had been an hour. He should have been home an hour ago. So he was like, well, maybe Tom met up with somebody else, or maybe he had a flat tire. So Christian decided she was going to go and look for Tom. Tom's mom and Tom's brother, they were all traveling all over town to his favorite back roading spots, maybe out by the lake. They were looking for Tom's car. They thought maybe was there a car wreck? Did he have a flat? Did he need help? So they were going to look for him. They could not find Tom anywhere in town. And they couldn't find where his car was. So they were a little scared. So the next morning, when he didn't come back, they called the police. And the sheriff's name is Nathan Lewis. Now, even Nathan Lewis wasn't immediately too alarmed. He said he's a teenager, he's a senior. Maybe he lost track of time. Maybe he found a loved one. He'll probably be home soon. Well, Christian, friend that he was back on Roan with, the girl, her dad is a pilot, helicopter pilot. So she was like, Daddy, get in this helicopter and let's go look for my friend's car. So DTF, Daddy and Christian got in the helicopter and they searched everywhere. And so they're able to see what you can't see, like when you're on the ground. Mm-hmm. And they looked and they looked. And at somewhere where Christian would never go, at the end of a long dirt road near a sewage facility, they saw the red vehicle. And they landed, and Christian was distraught because she was like, what would he be doing out here? And she thought maybe was he depressed? Like, what is he doing out here? There's no reason for him to be out here. They got to the car was empty. So then they called the police, okay? Now, in the car, there was no Tom. There were no footprints mm-hmm. leading to the car. Tom's belongings, including his keys, his wallet, his phone, and his backpack, were all missing. So the car was empty. But there was a little blood on the driver's seat. Driver's side door. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not enough to, like, raise any red flags, according to the sheriff. Just enough to think, like, maybe did he cut himself? And he had, like, just blood on his hands that might have smeared on the door. But there was also a .25 caliber bullet casing on the floorboard of his car.
Oh, that's
his
not
car.
Good. It's not good.
So that, to me, would raise maybe a mm-hmm. red flag.
Yeah.
So they get some canines, and they search that area. And the scent trail led up to the Canadian River, which is right just maybe a mile from where the car was parked. Mm-hmm. It's Canadian River. The drug dogs followed the scent all the way to the brush up to the water mm-hmm. and then lost the scent. So sheriff immediately called off the search. And mom, which her name is Penny Meek, was like, why did you call off the search?
Yeah, like, what's happening? Did you find him?
And the sheriff was like, well, we assumed he just committed suicide.
Okay.
And fell into the river. So, and they were like, he was like, didn't your dad commit suicide? Well, Penny's dad committed suicide when Penny was in junior high. He taught at the high school when Sheriff Nathan Lewis was a student.
Oh my
so he remembered,
gosh.
You know, in small towns, when little
yes,
things like that, it's a
yes,
big thing.
Yes.
So maybe he thought it was contagious. Mm. Maybe he thought suicide runs in the family.
Maybe it's hereditary.
Maybe it's hereditary. Just like, well, I just assumed he committed suicide. And she looked at him and she was not okay with that. Because
no.
even if you thought he did, wouldn't you want to find the body? So this infuriated Penny. She did not believe that Tom would commit suicide. There was no subtle signs or, like, outward signs that you typically look at. But let's talk about kind of like maybe what Tom was going through up until this point. Now, what we'd find out is that Tom had quit football the month earlier. Mm-hmm. Okay? But because he got his position taken by another underclassman. Mm-hmm. His coach said, I can depend on so-and-so. Mm-hmm. He is now starting. That didn't rub Tom the right way. Mm-hmm. So he just decided to quit.
Okay.
Well. And he was sad about that for, like, you know, a week and a half or two. But he just threw himself into his other extracurricular activities. Like, he knew he wasn't going to go play big anywhere.
Yeah.
He had won two That's state probably. Championships. So he just threw himself, like, in his theater and his class presidency and his video games and other things.
Yeah.
It just, to his mom, it wasn't that big of a deal. But also, 10 days before he went missing, him and his girlfriend broke up. She was a freshman at West Texas A&M. They agreed to be friends, but not date anymore. Okay. He didn't seem very sad about that.
No, he was fine. He was hanging out with Christian. He's fine.
But his friend said that he had been talking about his parents' divorce a whole lot. They had been divorced for 10 years, but it was a conversation that was coming up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And so they thought maybe, could he be sad about? The policeman was like, could he be sad about his divorce and breaking up with his girlfriend and not and being on the team anymore and commit suicide?
Well, it's really just two changes, but I don't know why he's talking about the divorce if it happened so long ago. So, yeah. But, yeah.
So, that kind of comes up a lot in a lot of our stories is like, kid goes through a bad divorce and then something crazy happens in their life.
How old is he right now?
He's 18, I think. 17 or 18.
17 or 18.
So they got divorced when he was 8.
Yeah.
So some psychologists say that divorce affects a child as the same as like losing a parent or a parent being in penitentiary. Like it's all just as traumatic.
Depending on how old you are.
On the age. Yeah. Yeah. And the situation. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, Penny Meek and Sheriff Nathan Lewis had a past. They did not get along. And when I was watching this episode, Penny Meek said, so this is Tom's mom, said that Nathan Lewis, the sheriff, roughed up Tom about 2 years before and accused Tom and a friend of about to rob like a pizza store or whatever.
Oh, they're hungry? Yeah.
And which they weren't. And they had no reason to think that. So he kind of roughed him up, threw him up against the car, overly questioned him. This pissed Penny off. Penny filed a complaint, made a big deal about it in the community. And so this was really the last person she wanted handling her son's case because she felt like there was bad blood against them, with them. Now, Nathan, I feel like right now, is now trying to maybe do some things like to look for Tom. So they start a search party, okay? And they get sonar done in the lake. So, I mean, there's a lake that's around and there's the river. So they do sonar. They don't send divers, but they just do the sonar.
Which can, a heat detector kind of, yeah.
They ruled out that he was in any of the body of waters around there, okay?
Okay.
So they determined he's not in the Canadian River. And they looked within 50 miles, they said, radius, of where his car was, and they found no body, no indication that he was hurt, not a weapon, not anything. They knew he wasn't in the water. So this was about 3 weeks after he went missing. He made a police conference and said that Tom wanted to leave, that he probably hitchhiked, parked his car there.
Speculation. Okay.
Probably hitchhiked. I started a new life and wanted to disappear on his own.
Okay, because it's that easy.
I mean, do you just hitchhike and just go start a new life?
I have no clue how you would even do that because I probably would
do it.
This
was the Priceless Pieces case.
Yes.
They said the same thing, but because his wallet and everything was gone too. But then his credit card had not been used since that night. He had got gas that night. Filled up his car tank. His tank. So they were like, oh, police people were asking questions in the audience. So you're saying he filled up the gas in his car, but then parked it and then left another way. Yeah, he probably just did that because it's a reflex. That's probably what he does like every, I don't know, Wednesday night or whatever it is. And then they were like, he made plans to be with his best friends the next day. He probably didn't want anybody to worry. Okay. It also, video showed him driving around town, you know, just like different business videos. Saw him driving around town and even towards home, but he never ended up home. And they said, well, what was the purpose of him driving around town that night? And he was like, well, he was probably second guessing like his thought, like he would probably drive home, change his mind, but then turn back around because he really didn't want to go home. So he had an answer
for everything.
For everything. And this was only 3 weeks after he went missing. So mom was like, he's not going to help me find my son. I'm going to hire a private investigator that specialized in finding missing people. So this guy's name's Philip Klein. And he comes in and he gets as much as information as he can from the police. But Sheriff Lewis is not very forthcoming with information. Mom Sheriff. Also thought it was crazy.
Ah, damn it.
Oh, you're bleeding. Mom also thought it was crazy that Sheriff Lewis dropped off the family car the day after it was found. So they didn't leave it at the police impound in case they needed to, like, dust for fingerprints or do a UV light. They returned it the day after it was found because he had concluded immediately that it was suicide. And then he concluded that he ran away. So the mom was like, are you sure you don't want the car? Are you sure you're not going to need it? Like, if other investigation comes up.
Dust for some prints.
Are you sure you don't need it to dust for prints? And he was like, no, we're good. So he returned it back home. So this investigator had this car and he had, you know, the interviews of people. Now, Philip Klein made a public statement with the family saying that his investigation leads them to believe that Tom did not disappear on his own and that something nefarious had really happened.
Sure.
And for some reason, the sheriff
seemed to be kind of covering it up.
Did
or
not want to find
had no interest
the
in
real
solving
answers.
It.
So the family was like, I don't trust the police with this investigation. Can the Texas Rangers come and take over? Like, she just pleaded for outside sources to come in. So Texas Rangers agreed to come in and assist.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lewis wasn't closing the case. He just was saying, I don't have any other evidence
It was not giving any effort, not trying. It just seemed like he didn't.
And because he didn't have any evidence, like, right here in front of him that pointed to anything sketchy,
yeah,
he was not going to go down that path. Like,
no,
he was not going to roll it out.
That's not your job.
Not to investigate at all.
Yeah, you're an investigative police officer.
So Texas Rangers came in, and they went to Stillwater at OSU, and they were going to question friend Christian that he was with that night. And Christian, they were trying to figure out, did Tom seem depressed? What type of music were y'all listening to? Was it depressing music? Is there anything out of the ordinary? Do you know where Tom is?
Oh, my God.
Let me have your cell phone. Let me look at your text messages because we believe that you might know where he is or what happened. They questioned Christian for 4 hours and asked her if she would take a polygraph, and she agreed. So then they left her alone.
Oh, my gosh.
Then they went to Caleb.
She's the one that found the car.
Caleb is at Texas A&M, and they called him up, and they were like, we need to talk to you. So Caleb agreed to come back to Canadian and talk to the Rangers. They questioned him for hours, and they took his phone, looked at his text messages, and they found out that he was asking people for Tom's PIN number to his phone, code to his phone. Do you know Tom's phone? PIN? To his phone? Do you know Tom's PIN to your phone? Do you know, like, all different friends? Mm-hmm. And they were like, why would you want Tom's code to his phone if the cell phone was never found?
Facts.
Good question. Tom, and so Caleb was like, well, I didn't want it, but Tom's mom texted my mom and asked my mom if I knew the code to the phone. Okay. So the police were like, we don't believe you. Why would Tom's mom want the code to the phone? And the phone it's not in her possession. And he goes, I don't know. I was just trying to help out Tom's mom to see if any of the friends knew the code because I thought she had the code. Why else would she want the PIN?
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So then Texas Rangers were like, I don't believe you. This is suspect. Isn't your dad a Republican politician in the area? he's probably trying to work with the police to cover up something that you might have did on accident or on purpose the night Tom went missing. So now they're looking at Caleb and they were like, oh, Caleb, God, are you involved in this?
Well, he committed suicide, so.
Well, Caleb called his mom and mom showed the text messages, yeah, of where Miss Penny was looking for the. And so they're like, okay. Caleb was like, you can give me a polygraph right here, right now. I have nothing to hide. They didn't give him a polygraph, but they did let him go.
Of course.
They were both being very cooperative because they, yeah, were concerned about their friends. Now, Philip Klein was like, I want to search the area. I want to look for cadaver dogs. I just don't know that the police really did what they said that they did. Okay? So he gets this going. And he also had them sniff Tom's car. And Tom's car, they went off on Tom's car, indicating there had been a dead body in Tom's car. Now, remember, police are saying he either committed suicide,
uh-huh,
or he ran away. But why are the cadaver dogs blowing their whistle, per se,
yeah,
on Tom's car, which they only find dead, the fumes, yeah, that come with dead body or where a dead body has been, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
And then a backpack is found.
Oh, wow. That's what happens when you look and search and do your job.
A backpack that was soaking wet. It had like an indentation in the ground, like where it was, like it'd been there for a little bit. Cause this is probably now 2 months after the murder. When they opened up the backpack, it was all wet on the inside and indicating the backpack was there. So here go police. They're like, well, he probably placed his backpack there before he got in the car with the hitchhiker to go and disappear. Private investigator was like, we think a suspect that might have hurt or took Tom tossed out the backpack as they were getting rid of the body or whatever, yeah, it may be. Okay.
Oh,
so it's like two, wow, different ways you can see the story. You got the investigator saying one, oh, you got the police, gosh, saying another one.
I have to go watch this show.
Now, 9 months went by and there was another search, okay, that was organized by the private investigator, not by the police.
Uh-huh.
But the police were always invited to be involved.
Right.
3 minutes within the search, a cell phone was found in the area off of the road where the backpack was found. Okay. The cell phone, though, was in pristine condition. And it had been 9 months outside. That town had gotten tons and tons of rain that season. It was not waterlogged. It did not have a scratch on it. It was not dirty. It was like in perfect condition in the grass in the middle of a field.
How did they find it?
On the search party. Found it. Like somebody in the search party just found it. Like they were just literally searching. Here's a cell phone. So they have to turn this in to the police or to the Texas Rangers, whoever's covering it by now. And it was Tom's phone. 9 months later, perfectly clean.
What?
So now Penny starts to say, you know what? I think the police have had this phone the whole time. Because she said the police kept questioning her for the pin. So she wouldn't give them the pin because she says, why do you need the pin
if you don't have the phone?
You have the phone. But they haven't said they had the phone. So she was coming out and saying the police must have wanted the phone to delete something from the phone.
What?
Okay. But then you have people in the community saying that the mom had
the phone
the whole time because she was too asking for the pin.
Oh my gosh.
And that the mom knows more than she's wanting to tell.
Okay, if the police had the phone, they could easily use their like get a warrant and the state can use their sell bride or sell hawk to get into the phone.
Yes.
So if they had the phone, they would have been able to get into it by getting that warrant.
Yes.
So they wouldn't have had to.
And why would they need the code? Are you saying they wouldn't have needed the code?
I'm saying I think they wouldn't have needed the code because they could
have. To get into it because they have other ways. So what she's saying is that she's saying Lewis had the phone, not the police.
And
Sheriff
had
Lewis
it himself, personally
and didn't want to tell the other police.
He's
because
probably
there's
one of
something
these,
incriminating
he's one
on
of these
there.
Corrupt police guy that is
that's
like
what mom thinks
all this doing pedophile and trafficking stuff and all this weird shit.
There's also rumors in the community that he has like this
person.
Sex that he has these sex rings
yep.
and that
it's all about
Tom
sex
was
ring.
Part of the sex ring. Like there's just
the
rumors
scandal
going
all
on.
Of it all. It's Tom Scandal, in case you didn't know, Bravo.
There was also a pistol case found. Not a pistol, but like a carrying case that like the pistol could have went in, but there was no pistol around. It was just a case that was found kind of near where their cell phone was found.
At the same time when the cell phone was
yeah.
found 9 months later?
On that same, yeah, during that same
this
search.
This is after the baby. 9 months later, I was like, is there a kid that was born?
So the attorney general comes in and they kind of oversee and they're taking over the case. Okay,
yeah.
So local law enforcement, they're not in charge. Kleine, the private investigator, is also turning over anything that he has found. And now attorney general is on there, is over the case. But nothing new comes out. They re-interview people. They're going to the local high school. That just in case people in the high school know something, but they're scared.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing like an anonymous line and nothing really new or pertinent comes out.
Important comes out. Yeah.
In 2020, 3 years later, about a mile from where the backpack was discovered, there was a body.
Are you kidding me?
Not a body, a femur and some bones. A hunter, there's not even a search going on, a hunter who goes out and looks for deer head carcasses and collects them.
I have a really...
Found a femur.
I'm all about femurs because I have long femurs, so...
It's the biggest bone in your body. And some other small bones.
Did he think
he
it was probably like
police.
Animal or he didn't know?
Well, you...
I mean, I have no idea. I guess if you're a hunter, you would recognize if it's animal or not. Like,
and a femur, yeah. you can tell that it's a femur.
I don't know. I mean,
and there's no animal that's going to have
a
bone like that.
It's a stick over here. It's a big stick. It's really thick and it looks bony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, canceled. He knew and he called the police. And the bones were sent in, and it was. Tom.
So what? Oh my gosh. But do we get a resolution?
3 years later.
Do we get a resolution? Please tell me.
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to be your own resolution.
Oh no. I'm pissed.
I did this to piss
Don't
you off.
Don't make me pissed.
So they tried their best to try to figure out, but they didn't have all the bones to the body. So there was the autopsy. I mean, they couldn't get any information. Manner of death, cause of death, how he died, all inconclusive.
Podcast
because
over.
You only have a couple of bones to go off of. All we have is theories.
And it's just bone. Like there's no flesh at all. It's
no
just-
flesh. It's 3 years later.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's in a field with wild animals. So bones are, animals probably scattered the body and the bones about because it's just outside in the elements.
I mean, it could be that, like, years. If you, I don't know. Okay, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are these theories, and in Canada, what's the place called?
Canadian.
I have a friend from Canada,
don't
and I call
know?
Her Canadia. And so I probably said Canadia, but that's really my friend. It's not this place.
Don't you know?
So, okay. So here's theory number one. A lot of people believe that Tom's mom knew that he committed suicide, but could not deal with that embarrassment and that story again, like could not deal with the truth and did not want it all around the town, and that her and her husband and the brother moved Tom's body.
I'm not having that story. There is a Canadian and river, by the way. It's really okay. Long. It seems to be on the map really long.
And that to make it look like something suspect had happened so that it could be ruled a murder and not an actual suicide because she just could not fathom that.
I'm going to need a motive before you do that.
Somebody else, the motive was to the share because even the police come at her with this theory. And the motive is your dad killed himself at that lake. Or in that area when you're in seventh grade and you had to live through that. And now for your son to do it again, you wouldn't be able to live through that. So you would rather dispose of him make it look like a murder.
Okay, that's very
The other one is that the sheriff had something to do with it. That him and Tom somehow did not get along, and that Tom actually found out about a lot of the secrets that the sheriff have, including some type of sex ring, and that sheriff had to get rid of him.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the sheriff would not, even when the Texas Rangers took over, there's a lot of evidence of what happened that night that the sheriff refused to give over. She just acted like it was misplaced. Okay. And the other theory is that the students, including one of the friends that was with him that night, actually did something and went home and acted like they had ended the night early, but had actually done something to him that night. But no motive of why they would do anything like that.
Okay. What?
And soon after the body was found, the cop, Lewis, resigned because after he was investigated, they found that he was lying on paperwork and other documentation, but unrelated to the case. So he just was a little sketchy.
Oh, sounds like it.
So he resigned. But as of right now, there's no idea of what happened to Tom. Like, there's
Yeah, I'm done with this. I hate this.
Skip Hollinsworth, you know that name? True crime writer.
Yeah.
He did a 7-part series in Texas Monthly, and I did not read it for this. I watched the story and I listened to a podcast. And then
is this Tom Brown's Body Podcast.
Yeah, Tom's Brown Body Podcast.
Oh my gosh. That he also did. I did hear that like forever ago. It's literally called Tom Brown's Body.
Body, yeah. I haven't even listened to all that. I am going to listen to all of that because there's so much in a
small
camp. It
was so viral. I don't know if I finished it or I probably got pissed and didn't finish it because it wasn't solved. And then I was like, this is stupid because I get pissed about that.
Now, Tom's mom did file like a bunch of like defamation of character lawsuits against like the sheriff's department. There's this Canadian recorder, like journal newspaper in the area. And so that person who writes in that, because they all wrote a lot of horrible things about the family. If a new rumor would come up, then they would talk about it. Chris Samples, that has a radio show there, he would report every rumor that would come up as they were coming up, and a lot of it made the family look bad. They were even saying that she is faking her guilt, like her sympathy, that she actually knows what happened but doesn't want to admit that her son took his life. So she tried to sue all of them, and I think a bunch of the cases got thrown out.
I just looked it up, and this article was published February 17th. Oh, it's 2024 now.
Last year, yeah. This because
yeah,
she sued them all in 2023.
Yeah, I was like, wait, this just happened, but no, in the wrong year.
Yeah, 2023, but a lot of them got dismissed. So
if he did commit suicide out there, are they saying that they think she knew that he did that and he found his body and then disposed of it?
Yes. Because that would explain a dead body being in the car for a period, for a little bit, but then the body being found way over there.
Okay, so I wonder how she would have, how would she have known where he was?
That they would have just found him. And I guess it was near the area where her dad, like there's this lake over there too. So it's near this, their main lake there. And that's where her dad also did it. And so it just kind of all made too much sense.
But there was no gun. There was just the gun case and then the shell casing in the seat. But, okay, if the casing was inside the car,
then he would have had to
shoot himself. He would have had to shoot himself.
In the car. And there would have been more than a dab of blood.
More than a dab of blood, yeah.
Other people think that he might have met up with somebody after and was killed, placed inside the car was abandoned, and then as they were leaving, they threw the backpack, like disposed of the backpack, disposed of the body somewhere else, threw out the gun, but the gun was never found. Here's the gun case over here, like that is more plausible, is that whoever did it killed him, if he was killed, was getting rid of the evidence along the highway on their way out.
Oh my gosh. I hate everything.
So people ask the mom, was she better now that at least like she knows that he's dead? Because for the longest,
that's true.
They thought that he may, you know, you always have high hopes that he's going to come back. And so she was like, no, I don't feel any better because I have no idea what happened.
Mm-mm.
They were able to have a memorial. They honored him at his, when he was supposed to graduate, he was a senior. They honored him. And then it even came out that like she has been texting his phone this whole time.
What?
But she showed him the text messages and it was just basically like, I love you. Happy birthday. Happy so-and-so. Like you're her way of talking to him, knowing that he's not there, but I don't know.
Listen to the latest, the one from June 12th, 2023 of Tom Brown's body update from Skip?
No, just because just said that it was about the defamation stuff.
Oh, yeah, it probably is.
And I just ran out of time.
Wow.
I'm sure there's so much more, but well, you can go find that podcast. Because where the hell is Tom Brown? Or we know where he is now. What the hell happened to him?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What do you think, FBI?
I think a lot of the evidence, if you just graze over it, kind of like I did, does point towards suicide. They said he was melancholy. It also said that he had a fetish of wearing diapers, adult diapers. We've covered that in an episode previously before. And that sometimes he would get in these depressive states where he just couldn't see like the good in things.
He wore diapers?
He confessed to somebody that he wore adult diapers a couple of times. So was he kind of ashamed of these things coming out?
Yeah, you should be ashamed of that. And maybe you don't need to... You need to be alive, but you need to be ashamed. I'm sorry about that, Tom. I'm sorry about your fetish.
But is that all just a rumor?
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's some real funky fetishes out there. And I saw some lady the other day over on some Twitter. She was putting cigarettes out in her boyfriend's mouth. And he was, because he wanted to be humiliated. And he had on a leash. It was BDSM. It was disgusting. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, people have some weird kinks and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know about diapers. That's disgusting. But
I do think Tom could have shot the gun.
Man.
Bullet casing fell in the car. like inside the car, like maybe shot it out the window, bullet casings in the car, and then walked further out and committed suicide. And then the elements just found him. I just don't know on how all these searches he wasn't found earlier.
Yeah.
There were like three major searches, at least.
And then the phone was placed.
The phone was placed.
But can't you see where the phone had been? I guess not. I don't know.
If it's been off and dead for, 9 months?
Yeah.
Off and dead for 9 months.
That's why you got to share your location with at least one person.
Yes.
I mean, I have like 10 people that I share it with, I think. And so if I go missing, you can all find me unless I turn it off.
Unless it's turned off. I don't know. I don't know what happened to Tom.
Oh, my gosh. What a good story, I guess, even though I'm not resolved.
Yeah, not resolved. Sorry.
Well,
every once in a while, you got to do one of those.
I know. And I'm going to do it to you back just to piss you off.
Okay.
But otherwise, that is a good story. And I love that it was not only on Friday Night Lights, even though I had nothing to do with football, but I guess he was a football player.
He was a football player.
But that it also was the podcast, Tom Brad's Body. It used to be almost like a big deal when it came out.
Yeah.
It was like big.
I want to listen to it. And I'm just excited. I probably should have waited to do this during football season. Maybe I'll do some more of these stories during football season. But I just...
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, it is my Texas Monthly. Okay, they have a few other ones, so maybe I'll go listen to one of them.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right.
I love it.
That is it. We will see y'all next time with a whole new story, and there's no telling what we're going to talk about. So we just hop around all over the place.
Love it.
We will see y'all. Don't forget to...
Stay aware.
Stay alive.
And always be DTF.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.